Hi everyone, welcome to the third module of our Microsoft in Education course. This module is titled 21st Century Learning Design. My name is Victor Ngobeni, and here with me again is Megan Rademeier, who will take us through what this module is all about.
Hi Victor, thanks for having me. As former teachers, I think we're both pretty passionate about 21st century learning. We know that really good teaching is not just about covering the content and getting your students through exams. It's about preparing them for life beyond school and life in the workplace. And that's what today's module is all about. Today we're going to be talking about what are 21st century skills. And we're going to be illustrating different 21st century skills with some really good examples, so that when teachers are trying to incorporate these skills into their own lessons, they'll have some other teachers' examples as inspiration and ideas for best practice. We'll also be talking about where teachers can find more information on this topic on the Microsoft Educator Network.
Let's start with the most obvious place, which is the classroom. Most people think it's all about the classroom, like the classroom setup. How much do you think classroom setup has to do with 21st century skills?
You know, Victor, there's a lot of buzz around the 21st century classroom, how it has an interactive smart board or whiteboard at the front, how learners each have their own devices. But if you look at the illustration, that classroom of today doesn't look all that different to the classroom from many years ago. If the teacher's still standing in the front, being the sage on the stage, really not that much has happened. The technology of today really makes it easy for teachers to flip a classroom, and you spoke about that in your module on Skype in the classroom and Office Mix. But it's about teachers making the most of technology to change their teaching practices and to bring in elements of 21st century design. And that's really a classroom of the future.
Absolutely. You want to talk to us about one of the current researches about the relationship between school and 21st century's workplace?
Sure. Microsoft and Pearson commissioned some research by Gallup in 2013 to see how young American in the workplace were coping in the workplace and how well prepared they thought they were by their education. From this research, they found that 59% of them said that they developed more skills used in their current job outside of school than what they learned in school that prepared them for the workplace. That doesn't say very much about the quality of the education they received. Also, 86% of them said that they used some technology or computers at school. So they were maybe using Word to type an assignment or Excel to crunch some numbers, but only 14% of them were using the collaborative technologies that they're expected to use in the workplace when they were at school. Think about things that we use, Microsoft OneNote, Office 365 to perhaps collaborate on a document together. They weren't using any of those tools when they were at school, but when they got to the workplace, they were expected to know how to use them.
And so the big question is, are schools preparing today's kids for tomorrow's world?
You know, Victor, we both visit a lot of schools and we see a lot of classrooms, and many of the classrooms that I visit are no different from the classrooms when I was at school. They really aren't that different to the classrooms that we were teaching in when we were teaching 10, 15 years ago. So we really have to wonder, has education kept pace with the times? Are teachers making the most of what's available to really prepare their students for the workplace?
Maybe what could help is to look at some of these skills, right?
So exactly. So we've got here a list of skills that employers are looking for. Are learners or students or young people in the workplace able to solve problems and to innovate? Or have they been so accustomed to learning things by rote and repeating them in tests and exams that they're not able to think of new and creative solutions. Employers also expect their workers to be globally aware, to know what's going on in different places, to stay current. With technology, the world is shrinking, and we should get learners to keep up with that, to make connections with learners in other places so that they become global citizens.
And I think in terms of technology, what would be important is for teachers to know how they could use technology to realize some of those skills, right?
Exactly. Technology makes it a lot easier to do things today. Obviously, when we were at school, we did some collaboration. We maybe did some group work activities or teachers set a group assignment. But these days, technology can assist that process. Learners can work together on a OneNote document, or can use Office 365 to edit the same document simultaneously, even if they're in different locations. So it's not necessarily that these are new skills, but the ways of developing the skills are new.
If you were to talk now, Megan, about the skills or pedagogies that are necessary for teachers to use, what pedagogies or what practices?
I think teachers need to walk the walk. If they're going to expect their students to develop skills for problem solving or self-regulation, they're not just going to develop these skills by accident or by chance. Teachers need to think, what are the skills I'm trying to develop? And they should actively plan tasks or activities that will promote the development of these skills. Teachers need to change their pedagogies if they're expecting different outcomes. So we've got here some innovative teaching practices that teachers should be considering. They should look at student-centered learning, get learners creating things, doing research, exploring. They shouldn't just be presenting them with textbooks or worksheets and expecting them to go through reams and reams of content. Technology makes it easy for students to do their own research, to look at genuine texts and to draw their own conclusions. And a good teacher will capitalize on that. Teachers should also be making the most of anywhere, anytime learning. In your module, you showed us Office Yeah. Mix, which is a great way of letting learners prepare for class ahead of time, so that in class teachers can spend more time on the collaboration and delving deeper into topics. Technology also enables authentic learning to take place. If learners are doing a project or an activity for a genuine purpose or goal, they put so much more effort into it, and technology lets them really share what they've created with a wider audience. They can put something on a wiki or on Facebook, and genuinely, other people aside from the teacher will see what they've produced. So in these examples that we're going to be talking about, you'll see how teachers have really used sound pedagogies to make sure that their 21st century learning happens.
Let's start with those skills that you mentioned few moments ago. Let's start perhaps with collaboration.
So collaboration is a great one to start with, because teachers often think that collaboration is a synonym for group work, that it means the same thing. But true collaboration is not as simple as saying to learners, well, get into groups and do this activity together. We're both former teachers. We know what happens with group work. Often it's one child who's perhaps quite diligent, who does the bulk of the work, and the others are all quite keen to add their names to the assignment.
We are not sure who did what.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas true collaboration means that each learner is responsible for a specific aspect of the task. If one learner doesn't do his or her share of the project, the whole thing falls apart. Yeah. And they genuinely have to work together and collaborate to solve a real problem, to make substantive or meaningful decisions together. And one person's contribution should really shape the next person's contribution. That's collaboration. It's not as simple as just saying group work.
Great. Would be good to look at an example of a project that you've worked with before.
Yeah, Victor, you know, a lot of these concepts sound quite sort of airy-fairy. And if you're able to look at an example where a teacher or two teachers in this case have done something really well, it helps you to better understand it. So here was a project where two teachers, in fact, collaborated. They were primary school teachers teaching this novel, The Phantom Toll Booth. And they wanted their learners to really work together to explore the novel and also to use Windows Live Movie Maker at the same time. What the teachers did was they got the learners to read the first chapter of the book, where this little boy named Milo gets this phantom toll booth in the post. And if you go through the phantom toll booth, it takes you to a mysterious land beyond. Mm. So that's how far they read the book. Before they carried on, they put the learners into groups and said, imagine what mysterious lands Milo might go to. Script your story, illustrate it, scan in the pictures, narrate the story, get somebody to read it aloud, and put together your idea of an adventure that might happen. And this was true collaboration because each girl took responsibility for a different aspect of the task. One perhaps drew the pictures, one wrote the script, one who read particularly well, narrated the story, somebody who was quite tech savvy put the whole thing together in Windows Live Movie Maker. So each girl played a genuine role in creating their next chapter of the story. And then what was particularly nice about it, the girls then showed off their endings to the story at a movie night that they invited their parents to. So they were preparing something for a real audience. Beyond just getting a mark for this activity, they were really going to show it to somebody.
Mm, great. And along with collaboration is skilled communication. I think they go well together, don't they?
So exactly. You know, communication is more than just being able to sort of read and write and speak. To communicate well is a genuine skill. And it's something that is expected of young people going into the workplace. It's no longer enough to just be able to write. Now you're expected to put together multimodal texts. Mm. You're expected to be able to embed video clips into a website. You're expected to be able to incorporate graphics into a PowerPoint presentation. So you've got to know how to make images and words work together. You've also got to be able to put things together that are appropriate for a specific audience and to think, who is the audience? Are you aiming this at somebody in authority, in which case your language needs to be correct, your tone needs to be correct, or is this aimed at peers? So that's another skill that learners need to develop.
Do you have a sample project?
I do, Victor. This is another example from St. Cyprian's. In this case, the learners were doing a project around HIV/AIDS. And because this topic is covered quite often in the syllabus, the girls were all saying, oh, ma'am, you know, we've done this already. Do we have to do it again? And the teacher said, you know what? If you think you're such experts, now's your chance to show off your knowledge. Put together a short infomercial on an aspect of HIV/AIDS that you think other people should know about, and then share your infomercial with the rest of the school. So these two girls in the picture, they put together an infomercial about living with HIV/AIDS. They had to craft their message carefully, find appropriate music, find appropriate visuals, put it all together, so that's not an easy task. And then they had to make it appropriate for an audience of their peers. And these short videos really were shown to a wider audience. So again, adding that real world element to the task.
Great. You just said now, Megan, students tend to put more effort when they deal with a real world problem, right?
For sure, Victor. You know, learners or kids, they know when they're doing something just for marks or just because their teacher needs to give them a grade for something. They know when they're doing that sort of activity, and they know when they're doing an activity that genuinely might make a real difference. And they put so much more work into solving a real problem. The problem doesn't have to be something huge, but it can be a local community issue, something that resonates with students, or something that that is topical at the moment, or you know, an item that they've seen in the news. And if they feel that their assignment in some small way contributes to solving a bigger problem, they will put a lot more effort into it.
Great. Do you have any example of some projects that you've worked with before?
Of course I do. Here we can see Max Wafuno, who is a teacher in an informal settlement in Cape Town. And his learners really didn't have a proper place to play. They were playing on a rubbish dump that was close to the school, which is very dangerous. You know, they were getting cut and scraped and bruised from literally playing in rubbish. And Maxwell thought this is something that really means something to his learners. If they rally and motivate for why their city council should construct a proper park or a proper play area that's safe for his students. They took photos of where they were currently playing. They put together a great PowerPoint. They used autocollage to put their images together. They made a brochure, and they used these materials that they created to raise awareness in the community, to let the city council know, to present it at community meetings, to really show that they needed a park. And largely through these efforts, a park is now in the process of being constructed, because they were really solving a problem and drawing awareness to this issue.
Great. Maybe let's come to the next one, which I think is one of the most misunderstood kind of skills. Because I think with the prevalent of technology, the internet, we all think all you can do as teachers is to send kids to the lab and do some research. Does it all end there?
You know, Victor, I think the problem is there's almost too much information out there. You know, if you go to Bing or a search engine and you type in what you're looking for information for, you know, there's almost more there than you can deal with. But we need to teach students how to sort of analyze information, how to find appropriate information, how to look at information from a couple of different sources and to then draw their own conclusions. And that's what knowledge construction is all about. It's quite unlikely that sort of school-going children will be genuinely coming up with things for the first time. But they are creating knowledge that's new to them. Mm. And through a process of experimentation, trial and error, sifting through websites, looking at primary sources to draw conclusions, the knowledge that they build for themselves in that way will stay with them for life, far more so than if they just presented with the answers, given a worksheet that lays down the findings. If they find that information for themselves and draw their own conclusions, they'll really remember it.
And do you need loads and loads of computers and tablets to get students to create knowledge?
You really don't, Victor. I mean, these days with mobile phones, most sort of smartphones can easily get you access to the internet. You don't even need technology. You know, it might be about going to the library and getting information from different sources. But the important part is the pedagogy of teaching students how to search for appropriate information, to compare sources, to generate new ideas, to synthesize knowledge, to analyze it and to interpret data.
And it all depends on the teacher, I think. That's why example.
The teacher is the key resource. I mean, here our example of Mariehi Sekesi from Lesotho is a fantastic example, because you were asking if you need lots of technology, and this teacher, in fact, didn't even have electricity in her classroom. She had her own laptop computer that she charged at home, brought it to school, let her students use it until the battery died, and then took it home again to start the process the next day. But what she did have in her community was a wealth of local knowledge. So when she was doing a topic around indigenous plants, she got her students to go into the hills of Lesotho and to find examples of indigenous plants. They then took those to a local traditional healer and got him to explain the medicinal properties of the different plants, how they could be used. So this wasn't using Bing to find information. It was using that local knowledge that was already there in the community. And the students then synthesized that knowledge. They tabulated what they'd found. They made pamphlets where they explained these are what the different plants can be used for. And they then distributed those pamphlets to the local herdsmen to say, please keep the cattle and the sheep away from these plants because they're worth preserving because they have these medicinal properties. So they were really using texts that they'd created for a genuine purpose. So this project also a great example of skilled communication.
Great. Self-regulation, what's that?
So self-regulation is all about developing students' abilities to manage their own time, to become responsible, to plan out activities, not to leave things until the last minute, but to rather come up with a workable plan for the project. And these skills really only happen if a teacher does a project over quite a span of time. If a teacher does a project, you know, over a couple of weeks and can say to the learners, you know, in a month's time, I expect you to be here, the students then need to plan for themselves, okay, in week one, we're going to do this. These are the people who are going to be responsible. In week two, we're going to do this. If a teacher only ever does short little lessons, you know, where a shorter task is expected the next day, students don't have time to build up those skills of managing a task over a long period of time. Doing a task over a long period of time also means that there are opportunities for learners to refine their work, to perhaps go through a couple of drafts. And technology is great for this because you know, a teacher can comment on their first draft, and it's then quite easy to you know, fix those mistakes, to enhance it, to refine it before submitting it again. It's also important for students to know the goals in advance. What's the rubric that the activity is going to be scored on, so that a student can plan their response accordingly.
Would be worth talking about sort of a real life example of a lesson?
Sure. So this example is another one from Lesotho, again made with very little in the way of technological resources. In fact, in this case, they only had access to mobile phones with a built-in video camera. Kabela Malati was an English teacher teaching the Shakespeare play Julius Caesar. And the language is difficult. You know, when you're dealing with sort of learners where English is not their first language, it's difficult to get the hang of Shakespearean English, especially when the context and the setting is also so remote, so foreign. So to bring Shakespeare to life, Lucille got the learners to make their own version of the play Julius Caesar. She put them in groups and gave each group the responsibility of dramatizing a different act. She gave them quite a bit of time to get this done. So the students then were able to regulate themselves. They could decide who was going to be responsible for writing the dialogue, who was going to be responsible for filming it, who was going to source the props and the costumes, who was going to be their editor. And they could then, over a number of English periods, work on their plays before presenting the final production and filming it. So they weren't just learning the English content, they were also learning those important life skills about planning and managing a task that I'm sure will stand them in good stead as they go into the workplace.
Absolutely great. And what about the last one, use of ICT? Any reason why you put it last? Is it least important or?
You know, Victor, I think technology can certainly enhance a lesson, but it's also perfectly possible to create good lessons that don't use ICT. It's not like a 21st century skill building lesson is synonymous with a lesson that uses technology. We've seen examples where teachers use technology just for the sake of it, but they're not really enhancing learning or doing something that they couldn't do without the technology. So we like to see technology being used because it really is going to play a meaningful role in the lesson. And it's going to make it possible to do something that would have been very difficult without technology. In your previous module, you were talking about Mystery Skype.
Yes.
And how that can connect classrooms from across the world and let students talk live to students in another country. I mean, that's powerful learning that's taking place that would be very difficult without technology. Maybe back in the day when we were at school, you might have had a pen pal in another country. Yeah. But Mystery Skype really is so much more powerful. I've got some examples that I can show you of another great lesson that really made powerful impact using technology. This is Charlie Wiggle, who wanted to get his students to read with more expression and to develop a love for reading and to practice reading out loud, which is quite a sort of skill that that is perhaps getting neglected as students sort of watch more and more TV or sort of interact more with technology and perhaps are losing that love for reading.
Yeah.
So he got his students to each find a story that they thought blind students would enjoy, a story that worked well to listen to, and to then practice reading that story out loud. Once they were confident that they were doing a good job, they recorded each student reading, and they saved that as an MP3 file, and they've now set up a wiki space where blind students can go and select from over 200 stories in a range of different languages, find a story that they'd like to listen to, and can then listen to it. So students are benefiting because their reading skills are improving, but they're doing it for a genuine audience, for a genuine purpose. And through the power of technology, this project is able to reach blind students in other countries that it would never have reached without technology. And the students who set up this project have also been able to use technology to encourage their Facebook friends to also contribute their stories to this project. So technology's really taken a simple idea and has grown it to be so much more meaningful.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing those examples, Megan. Maybe in the future we could use Skype to connect with these teachers and they can share like some of these examples personally. Maybe do you want to end up with a demo?
Sure. The examples that I've shown all come from South Africa or Lesotho because those are the teachers that we happen to be working with. But they're teachers around the world who are doing great learning activities that really develop these 21st century learning skills. And I'd like to show you on the Microsoft Educator Network where teachers can access great examples from a range of different countries. If a teacher goes to the Microsoft Educator Network and opens up here where it says professional development and clicks on courses, they'll get a screen that looks like this. This one here is 21st century learning design, and you click learn more to enter it. This one's a bit different to teaching with technology, which is a self-paced course. This course works best as a facilitated course, but what teachers can look at by themselves and what's really worth doing is if they go here to examples, they will see great examples of collaboration, of knowledge construction, of self-regulation, all of these different 21st century skills that we've been talking about. There are two world-class examples of each of those skills and how teachers have developed it. And it's a really good place to start to see what other teachers have done, to start getting ideas for lessons that you as a teacher may want to try in your own classroom. Something else that's worth looking at in this course is if one goes to the overview section, you can download rubrics for 21st century learning design for student work and for learning activities. And these cover a lot of the different dimensions that I was talking about: collaboration, knowledge building, self-regulation. But it gives quite a lot more detail. So somebody who's been watching today, who's interested in 21st century learning, would enjoy downloading these rubrics and going into them in a bit more detail.
So thanks so much, Megan, for showing and sharing all of those examples and taking us through the module. And and thanks again to the audience for joining us for this module and as well as the rest of the course. And we hope we've shared some really interesting tools, and we hope you'll go and try out the tools. We hope you go and install the tools. And once again, remember where you need to go to install the tools, Megan?
Yeah, you can find all of the tools that we've been talking about on the Microsoft Educator Network, as well as some great professional development courses like the 21st Century Learning Design course and the Teaching with Technology course that teachers can use to build their skills. I think across this whole course on Microsoft in Education, we've been trying to both show the audience some of the great tools that are available through Microsoft, but we've also been trying to show, more importantly, how to really use those tools to promote great teaching and learning. And I hope that teachers will download some of these tools and try them out, not just for the sake of using a cool tool, but really for the sake of enhancing teaching and learning. And then I think we would have achieved our aim for this course.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for joining us, and I will see you again soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.